Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Drive across San Antonio and you will see the tents and other makeshift structures of people who are unhoused. The situation isn't as pronounced as it is in other cities, but it does seem to be growing. And it has been recognized by City Hall as a top concern of local residents. But just cleaning up and clearing out the camps is not a solution. The people find another place to set up until the city comes back again and moves them again. So what is behind this issue? Why does it seem to be getting worse? What are the solutions? And what will help the people who are unhoused? We're joined by District 7 City Council Member Marina Alderete-Gavido. And welcome to The Source, Marina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you're making this one of your top issues. Why are you focusing on this?
Well, it's one of the residents' top issues. And so if it's their priority, it's my priority. And that's why I'm focused on it.
And what are you hearing from the residents?
I'm hearing a lot of frustration. You know, they're seeing an increased amount of unsheltered individuals in their neighborhoods, in drainage ditches, and they want to make sure that the unsheltered individuals, you know, are connected to help and resources, are cared for accordingly. But also, too, you know, I mean, to be completely transparent, they're also frustrated if they're in their backyards.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, you want to tell us about what you see, what you want done about the encampments of the people who are unhoused, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Send an email to thesource@tpr.org. You could also text us at 833-877-8255. I got an email from a listener, Randall. He says that he lives in an area where there are large encampments and it feels like it's a whack-a-mole situation, that the people in these encampments they cannot afford housing. And so they get some meal tokens or sometimes places that do provide meals for the people who are unhoused. And this creates a problem where there people kind of gather in these areas and it seems to be nurturing the problem rather than finding solutions. And he wants to see what can be done to provide a sustainable solution.
Yeah, you know, the city of San Antonio invests over $50 million in homelessness. And so, you know, whether it's investing in Haven for Hope, in low barrier shelters, where even people with drug or alcohol addictions can go into low barrier shelters, permanent supportive housing. So there is infrastructure in place that the city's already investing in. My intent is to connect our unsheltered population to that help and resources. You know, get them off of the streets, get them out of drainage ditches, and connect them to where the help is already invested in.
So how does this operate? We the city identifies, or people have to call in. How do you, if you have an encampment near where you live and you're concerned and you want the city to do something about it, what's the process?
Yeah, I would encourage residents to either call 311 or call their city council office. The city of San Antonio made a commitment last budget cycle to have a homeless encampment cleared up within 2 weeks of receiving a phone call.
2 weeks. How's that working for you?
Well, we, as of February 1st, they are on a 2-week cycle, but you know, I authored what's called a CCR, a council consideration request. I call it a policy proposal that outlines where we're saying homeless encampments cannot be, you know, sensitive areas where the priority needs to be now to clean up these encampments. For instance, we do not want any homeless encampments near schools, right? Because of the risk that they pose. We don't want any homeless encampments in parks. Having homeless encampments in drainage ditches is a life safety issue, not only for the unsheltered individuals in the drainage ditch, but for everyone else because of all the trash and needles that flows downstream. So back in November when I authored the CCR, we were definitely outside of the 2-week window. And so we needed to keep pushing and partnering with the city to get that right.
So there is a dashboard, a portal online you can look at with the City of San Antonio, where they post where the next abatements are going to be. And there's a lot of them. Also, there's they post numbers of the abatements that have happened so far this year, and almost 500 so far this year. That's in the year still pretty early.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a lot of activity happening in addressing this. And are the people, are they ticketed? Are they arrested? Do they face any sort of criminal penalties for living, starting, creating a homeless encampment?
I'm glad you asked that. In my CCR, we did not want to talk about criminalizing our homeless. What happens when the city reaches out and clears out a homeless encampment is that the city's Department of Human Services comes out, builds relationship with our unsheltered individuals, asks them if they need help, offers to take them to Haven for Hope or SAM Ministries or different shelters. The unsheltered individual can either accept the help and go right away or refuse it. And then, you know, they'll give notice that the encampment's going to be cleaned up, and then solid waste comes and cleans up the trash. I do hear the concern, and it is extremely valid concern of, you know, we clean up an encampment, maybe the unsheltered individuals go across the street, and then the next day they're right back out there at the original spot. So it's a little bit of marbles in a box. You know, we're not really solving the issue.
Right. I have another email from a listener, Lee. He says, I own several businesses, offices in the Hay Street Bridge area. He says that every day it's like a circus. You see the circus begins with 4 to 6 police units, 2 large bulk brush style city trucks, sometimes a grappling hook operator, and they will come to this location, and people from the Health and Human Services, and they basically evict the encampment, and what doesn't get pulled off by the individuals gets loaded onto the trucks, only to see the encampment start to rebuilding their tents within the next couple of days. He's saying, you know, it's a circus. It continues to happen over and over again. All you're really doing, it seems like, is disrupting the lives of the people who are unhoused.
Yeah. You know, I definitely agree that sweeps is not going to solve the issue. However, I'd also say that leaving people to live in those unsafe conditions is also not an option. You know, one of the things that we've seen and learned from other cities is some other cities have permanent homeless encampments where just whole blocks are full of a homeless encampment, so much so that they even have trash service at this homeless encampment.
You know? And then they also have like police presence and things to try to make sure that they're trying to keep the peace there.
Some do, yes. And so our strategy is not letting those homeless encampments be where in some of the spots they are and to constantly keep pushing and moving them. And also really the ultimate goal is to connect these unsheltered individuals to the help that the city's already providing.
All right, we're going to continue discussing the issue of these homeless encampments, people who are unhoused, and they have to be somewhere. So they set up their tents, other makeshift shelters, under bridges, under the highways, and drainage ditches. It's more than just a nuisance. This is a health and safety issue. And what is the city doing about it? How are they offering services? What do you want to see done? Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Trevor, I see you on the board. I'm going to get you on the air when we come back from this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from La Fonda on Main, honoring the authentic cuisine of interior Mexico since 1932. Open for lunch, brunch, and dinner. More information at lafondaonmain.com.
The EarthX 2024 Environmental and Sustainability Congress of Conferences is happening in Dallas, April 22nd through the 26th, bringing together all sides with one important mission: protect our planet. For info, earthx.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me in the studio, I'm joined by Marina Alderete Gavido. She is the San Antonio City Council member for District 7. We're talking about the homeless encampments and what the city is doing about them to clear them out, but also provide services to these people, and if that's working. Also, in the next half hour, we're talking about how the racial gap has widened in voting because of the Voting Rights Act being weakened by the Supreme Court. But let's get a caller on the air, and we have Trevor. And Trevor, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you all for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener. Very charmed to be a part of this conversation. However, I did hear the councilwoman, and thank you so much for your efforts as far as linking people to those resources you mentioned earlier. My role, I used to work with the city of San Antonio as an outreach worker. So one of the things that we would do is we would link them to the resources that were mentioned. However, a lot of those that you're seeing out there right now on the streets are there because of the fact that a lot of the infrastructure and resources that are out there aren't really meeting them where they're at. Mm-hmm. They have a number of complicated and complex behavioral health demands that really allow for them to stay at that emergency shelter, allow for their stay there to be sustained is almost an impossibility. So my question is, what are we doing to really ensure that the stay at Haven for Hope is maintained in a way that can really jettison someone into the housing world? And I'll take my question off the air. Thank you.
All right, Trevor, thank you for that. For Haven for Hope has been, you know, globally praised for the successes that it has had helping people get off the streets. But people have got to want to get off the streets and in order to take advantage of the services.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Trevor, for that question. It's a great question and something that we hear a lot of. You know, Haven for Hope, again, like you were mentioning, does provide a great resource for a lot of people, but not for everyone. And so one of the things that the city has invested in recently is what we're calling low barrier shelters. So even if someone does have a drug or alcohol addiction, maybe they cannot get into Haven for Hope, but they can get into a low barrier shelter where there is a roof over their head, but there is also wraparound services to try and help that individual, you know, get back on their feet. And so one of the other things, too, is that my team and I did a tour of not only Haven for Hope, but also Christian Assistance Ministries, Corazon, Communities Under the Bridge, where our unsheltered population can get food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, towels, and get different services that they need without having to stay somewhere.
Right, and Catholic Worker House, which is right by Dignity Hill. Mm-hmm. And so people are wondering, is that also, you know, as we got from the email, a person mm-hmm. saying having these services there creates a location where a lot of the people who are unhoused will gather. Mm-hmm. And that's where they're more likely to kind of set up their encampments.
Yeah, no, there definitely is a lot of services in a congregated area, not too far from like Alamo and McCullough. And, you know, you can't force anyone into a shelter. You can work with them and hope that they get there. And that is the crucial role of our outreach specialists, is to build that relationship and with the unsheltered individual and try to get them into a housing situation.
So what are some of the issues that are created? Why is this something that needs to be addressed? What are the health and safety issues?
Yeah, I mean, a huge issue that we hear about is that if there is a vacant house in a residential area during the winter, you know, our unsheltered population will occupy that house, maybe start a fire in the winter, you know, really cause just havoc for that neighborhood. That is a huge concern. We get calls about, you know, our homeless encampments starting up in alleyways, starting fires, lighting people's fences on fire, you know,
accidentally.
Or just all sorts of those types of concerns. And it does become scary. Obviously, you know, sometimes there's these horrible stories of maybe a homeless person committing a crime. There was one not too far. It was in the Monticello Jefferson Woodlawn area where there was an individual where, you know, he was unsheltered. They had seen him around for 3 months. And then, unfortunately, he committed a crime on an autistic man who was waiting at the VIA bus stop. When you hear those snippets and those stories, you know, it becomes, you know, a huge issue.
Yeah, but those are two separate issues. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to conflate the two.
Right.
But when people who are unhoused, they are, you know, subjected to the elements.
Yep.
You know, we have, you know, it can get really cold.
Absolutely.
A couple of times a year, mm-hmm. but the rest of the time it can get really, really hot.
Sure.
And over 100 degrees, and people mm-hmm. can suffer extreme distress.
Mm-hmm.
The health department provides ice and other things to try to help people cope with the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So what or is it like? Are you trying to say we can help you? You don't have to live like this. We can get you stabilized, and
yeah.
and you can
mm-hmm.
Have a place to live that
yes.
you know that you can have services.
Mm-hmm. And I'd also add, you know, our unsheltered population have a higher tendency to be victims of crime themselves. You know,
right.
And so our intent is again to connect our unsheltered population to the help and services that the city is providing. You know, again, the city is already investing over $50 million in this issue. And so it's saying, hey, you don't have to be in this drainage ditch off Bandera Road. There is place and there is a help for you. And it's about connecting them to those help and resources.
So what is your CCR? This is your city council consideration request.
Mm-hmm.
What are you asking to be done?
Yeah, what we're doing is prioritizing sensitive areas, again, where we're saying homeless encampments cannot be. And when we're saying that they cannot be there, we're prioritizing the cleanup to be immediate. Again,
so how does that disrupt what they're already doing? I mean, do they need to create another team
no.
to do a rapid response?
No, they're really, it's prioritizing the areas that need to be cleaned up right away. So if there is an encampment near a school, that's going to take priority.
So right now, the way I understand it is that the team will send someone to an encampment and they'll tell them in the next 48 hours, mm-hmm. we're going to clean out this camp.
Mm-hmm.
And that means so they can gather their things up, including their important documents,
mm-hmm.
which is a chronic problem that they have, losing their
mm-hmm.
documents. And so they can move out.
Mm-hmm.
So and then the team comes in and cleans up the area because there's the accumulation of trash
right.
and other things. So does that work? I mean, even under this rapid response
mm-hmm.
team plan that you may have, will they still come in there and tell them in 48 hours we're gonna knock this place out, or you want it done right away?
Yeah, it's still the same approach of going in there, building a relationship with the homeless individual, asking them if they need help or services, and then letting them know this encampment's going to get cleared out right away. What the CCR is doing is that instead of a school being on the queue, number 25 on the queue, it's going to go into number one on the queue.
Right. The people that I know who've worked in these areas say there's a drug addiction is a big part of the
mm-hmm.
problem. They will get to know and build personal relationships with some of the people who are addicted, who are dealing with addiction disorders, and continually trying to convince them to come in and get
mm-hmm.
treatment. But it takes a long time and a lot of ask waiting for somebody. And they'll say, if I get somebody one a day, they consider that a huge victory. It's not easy.
It's not easy. You know, our outreach specialists have such a tough job. I will say that, though, that when you hear those success stories of people who were out on the street who had no hope and they did get that one outreach for help and assistance, they may have said no 200 times before, but then they finally, something happened in their life where they're saying yes and they become productive members of society. I mean, those are the success stories I do think that we need to hang on to and hope for. And again, when our outreach specialists do these abatements and clean up these homeless encampments, the outreach component is just as critical.
So is the situation getting worse? Are we having more encampments? Do we know?
Yeah, well, there was an increase in our total unsheltered population from last year. There was a 5.3% increase. So right now there's a little over 3,000 people experiencing homelessness in San Antonio. A majority, over 2,200, are in a shelter. So either at Haven for Hope, Sam Ministries, or in a shelter of some sort. And 874 or unsheltered. Now, this is also this was also done during the last point in time count, so that's not necessarily a complete, full, accurate picture, but it's the numbers we have to go off of.
And so it shows you that there's a distinction. You know, there are some people who are chronically unsheltered, mm-hmm. and there are people who are temporarily mm-hmm. unsheltered. And it seemed like if you can find people who have displaced because they had one bad accident, they fell behind in their bills, they can't keep up with the high rent, and you know, those are the people who, if we could go in and do some triage and figure out these are the ones that we can really help, mm-hmm. that might be able to, and then as find more resources for the people who are chronically distressed.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we were talking about earlier is that, you know, in my prior experience serving on the Bexar County Child Welfare Board, is that the amount of our foster care kids who are aging out of the foster care system, so at 18, you know, they have been focusing their life on surviving, you know, going from foster care house to a foster care house. And, you know, at 18, they're kind of pushed off onto the streets, and a large percentage of those foster care kids end up being homeless, you know? And so to me, if we're able to focus on our foster care kids and trying to catch them before they become chronically homeless, I think that would be a huge win for us.
We're also seeing a growing population of people who are over 65.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And these are people who are in fixed income, mm-hmm. and they cannot pay these rising rents.
That's right, yes. And so recently we joined another council office and went to Town Twin Village, which is a phenomenal place where it's anybody 50 or 55 and up. And, you know, they have their own individual units. I mean, it's beautiful. And so they have it set up to where it's very community oriented. And so, you know, we know that homelessness is a housing problem. We need to provide housing options. Town Twin Village is a perfect example of that.
People often say, well, we need to take care of our veterans, but San Antonio has been doing a very good job of providing services for people who are veterans, mm-hmm. who are unhoused, and getting them off the streets. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the numbers, you'll see that's not a big, big part of the unhoused population, is it?
It isn't. But again, I do think that the magic there is really that outreach and understanding, hey, this is a veteran, and connecting them to the help and resources.
Right. So those services do exist. Yep. And so where do you see this? Where is this going? What do you want to see happen?
So I was excited because off of this council consideration request, but, you know, essentially a policy proposal, it's going to be discussed at our April 11th city council meeting. I definitely think that the city is doing the right things. We're moving in the right direction, but we can't let our foot off the gas pedal. You know, we are seeing other cities that have 10 times more of a problem, and I think it's incumbent on all of us to not let our city get there.
Another email from Bonnie. I live by Lackland. I see much of the encampments, a lot of youth aged out of the foster care. It's mm-hmm. safer for them to be homeless. How much are we spending annually to remove the encampments?
Yeah, so I know that the city in total is spending a little over $50 million. Let me look to see if I have the number on encampments. So just shy of $3 million on encampment cleanups is what I have.
And any idea what happens in the county? Because now the county has so many residential areas.
Yeah, I think that the county, the estimated total of the county spend is over $75 million. I'm not sure how much of that is specifically
right,
in encampment.
But yeah, this is a problem that is all over the whole
Absolutely.
Area, every residential, every community, and we need solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Mariana Arlete Gavido, thank you so much for coming in today. District 7 City Council member, appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the racial turnout gap widening with voting, how the Voting Rights Act being gutted, how that impacted that. Stay with us.